Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Centrum Electronics Limited Q4 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Nirmal Bang Equities Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference has been recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Jyoti. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Anushka. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Nirmal Bang Institutional Equities, we welcome you to the Q4 FY25 earnings call with the management of Centrum Electronics Limited. We have with us Mr. Nikhil Malavarapu, Executive Director, and Mr. K.S. Desikan, Chief Financial Officer. Without further ado, I would now request Mr. Nikhil Malavarapu, sir, to start with his opening comments, after which we can open the floor for question and answers. Thank you, sir, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Jyoti, and good afternoon, everyone. Warm welcome to all of you to our earnings call to discuss the performance of the fourth quarter and financial year 2025. Let me first mention a special thanks to our host of today's con call at Nirmal Bang. Now, let me start by briefing you on the key performance highlights for the quarter and the year under review, after which our CFO, Mr. Desikan, will take you through the financial highlights. In the fourth quarter under review, we delivered a strong performance with consolidated revenue from operations growing by 24% year-on-year and 31% sequentially. This robust growth was primarily driven by a strong performance in our build-to-specification, or BTS, business, especially with our domestic defense and space customers. Additionally, our EMS business maintained a solid momentum and contributed meaningfully to the overall growth. EBITDA and EBITDA margins at a consolidated level grew well, driven by higher billings in the BTS segment. Looking at the full year, consolidated revenue grew by 6% year-on-year. However, it is important to note that certain contracts are counted on a net basis rather than on a gross basis. On a gross basis, these contracts were valued at approximately 82 crores, resulting in a gross revenue growth of 13% year-on-year. While standalone revenues grew by 18% year-on-year, the subsidiary revenues declined due to softness in certain customer segments. For the full year, while margins in our core business improved, we faced some headwinds from our Canadian subsidiary. We are taking decisive actions to address those challenges. In our French engineering services business, we've initiated certain cost optimization measures and are shifting focus towards defense and aerospace customers, as we believe this will enhance both utilization rates and profitability going forward. Our total order book position stands at 1,736 crores as of 31st March 2025. On a standalone basis itself, the order book increased to 1,330 crores, up from 1,118 crores at the end of the previous financial year. This was driven primarily by the strong order inflows in the BTS segment for defense and space customers. On the balance sheet front, our working capital has increased at the consolidated level to 87 days, primarily due to higher billing in quarter four. As you may also know, we successfully raised 210 crores from our marquee investors via a QIP during the last quarter, which reflects a strong confidence in our company's future growth potential. The fund utilization has been for debt reduction of 115 crores, out of which we've already repaid 110 crores, while the remaining funds are strategically allocated towards CapEx and general corporate purposes. In conclusion, I'm happy to report to you a strong turnaround in our performance in the fourth quarter, with a very healthy order book and many strategic initiatives on cost optimization underway. We are confident of a much healthier FY26. Lastly, before I hand over the call to Desikan, I'd like to take a moment to reflect on a very important milestone. As you may have read in our board outcome, Mr. Desikan, our long-serving CFO, has decided to superannuate. Desikan has been an integral part of Centrum for the last 25 years. His journey has been nothing short of extraordinary, and he has been a key driver for our financial strategy and discipline, but also a pillar of strength through many transformations the company has undergone. His contributions have placed Centrum on a solid financial footing and built the strong foundation we stand on today. While we will miss his presence and guidance, we are happy that he leaves the company in a much stronger position with the right systems and culture in place. And on behalf of the entire Centrum family, I thank him for his unwavering dedication, integrity, and service. Mr. Desikan will be succeeded by Mr. Sundararajan Parthasarathy, who has come on board as CFO designate. Sundar brings with him 25 years of rich and diverse experience across sectors such as healthcare, automotive, energy infrastructure, water technology, HR services, and green energy. A qualified chartered accountant, Sundar was most recently the first global CFO at Agratas, a Tata Enterprise, and has previously held leadership roles at Brakes India, Sandoz, GE, Xylem, and Adecco. With that, I will now hand over the call to Mr. Desikan to take you through the financials for one last time in this role.
Thank you, Nikhil, for those kind words, and thank everyone for their support throughout my career. Now, for the fourth quarter at a standalone level, the revenue from operation was about 270 crores, which grew by around 49% quarter on quarter and 60% year on year. The EBITDA for the quarter was about INR 47 crores, which grew by around 120% quarter on quarter and 175% year on year. With one of the best quarterly EBITDA margins, we have reported 17.37%. The net profit for the quarter was around 30 crores, which grew by around 225% quarter on quarter and 240% year on year. For the fourth quarter under review, at a consolidated level, the revenue from operations grew by 31% quarter on quarter and 24% year on year to around 369 crores. The EBITDA for the quarter was 42 crores, which grew by around 115% quarter-on-quarter and 132% year-on-year, with EBITDA margin reported at 11.31%. The net profit for the quarter was around 22 crores, with PAT margin of 5.83%. For the full year FY25, at a standalone level, the revenue from operation was about 750 crores, representing a growth of 18.5% year-on-year. The EBITDA for the period was about 102 crores, which increased by around 30% year-on-year, with the EBITDA margins reported at 13.6%. The net profit for the period was around 53 crores, which grew by 46% year-on-year. For the full year FY25, at a consolidated level, the revenue from operations were 1155 crores, which grew by 6% year-on-year. The EBITDA stood at around 97 crores, which increased by 12.6% with EBITDA margin at 8.37%, and net loss for the year was around 2 crores. With that, we can open the floor for Q&A session. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rupesh Tatya from IntelSense Capital. Please proceed.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. My question is, I wanted to understand which are the programs in Indian defense ecosystem you are present in. I mean, I don't think we have ever talked about it. So if you can give some color about, you know, whether you're present in Sukhoi, you are some missile programs, some what are the naval programs, some color on that would be really helpful.
Understood. So very quickly, as you may have noted from our earnings presentation, defense, space, and aerospace account for more than 50% of our overall revenues. And this comes from all the three different service offerings that we provide. So we have certain projects which are in the build-to-spec domain, where we are responsible right from the design to manufacturing of the products. And in the standalone entity on this part, our customers are typically the public sector units, DRDO, ISRO, and also in hopefully in the coming future directly to the tri-services as well. And then we also do in the EMS part of the business, where we are manufacturing products to customers' designs. And in this part of the business, is largely export-oriented to global customers. These, again, span different applications and different programs, and we are a strategic supplier and integrated into the global supply chain of these large global OEMs. And then the third is also on the engineering services front. We engage with, again, the global OEMs on designing parts of their global programs and R&D pipeline. So to answer your question in terms of more specifically which programs that we are engaged, again, on the build-to-spec side of it, our strength lies broadly in a few domains here. So first is space systems. So space has been an area that we have been in involved for well over 23, 24 years. And we have moved up the value chain from being a niche microelectronic component supplier to now delivering full satellite payloads. And to that end, we have certain programs that are ongoing for defense applications, where we are designing and manufacturing and delivering payloads for electronic intelligence applications and a few others. And then apart from this, coming to radar is another area that we have a strong presence in. We build various subsystems for some critical programs, one of them being the VLSR-SAM program. We have an important contribution to that, which we just won a significant order in the past year. Apart from that, also on land systems has been an area that we have been present in. We have been on board many different missile programs manufactured by BDL. In addition to that, also on tank electronics, we have a strong presence on the different tank platforms, including the T-90, where we have indigenized various Russian imported items. These are a few. And then in addition to this, on the EMS part of the business, we are also on board several different programs, both again on a global level as well as in India itself. The key ones that you would hear about is on the Rafale itself, the Rafale fighters, where we are again building critical electronics for the platform, for the radar and the electronic warfare system of the platform. And in addition to that, we are also exporting electronics to customers in the Middle East, which are again more on missile programs, not necessarily for India, but for global requirements as well. So these are just a few examples of the points, but yeah, it is clearly an important part of our overall business.
So thank you for that detailed answer, sir. So in one of the slides, you have given your standalone order book split, right? So BTS is 664 crore and EMS is 665 crore. So this 664, in all of this, is it fair, correct understanding that we will create prototype, we will give it to one of the DPSUs or directly to the ministry, then we'll get a part number, then there will be some production, you know, in future. Some of it is already production, and then some of it is, you know, production in future 2-3 years. Is that a fair understanding on this 664 crore of order book on the BTS side in standalone?
Yes, yes. That's right.
Okay. And then final question, sir, is on standalone between EMS and BTS, can you give some idea about the relative gross margin?
I'll maybe speak a little bit more at probably the EBITDA margin level. These are clearly different margin profiles, basically because the build-to-spec obviously involves the whole design and associated value add that goes with it. So your typical EBITDA margin for build-to-spec can be in the range of 20% or so. And whereas on the EMS side of the business, it's more build-to-print, and that is typically in the, you know, 10 to 12% level or so. And in terms of gross margin, it can vary again depending on contract to contract, but typically a normal industry benchmark on the EMS side of the business is, you know, material cost percentage of somewhere in the range of about 75-odd%, whereas on the build to spec side of it, it can be much lower than that, maybe closer to 50% or so. That should give you a high-level picture of this.
And maybe just to conclude, this 175 crore BTS revenue, is it fair that it will grow at a high rate in next 3-4 years and we can hit, let's say, 100 crore revenue in 3-4 years?
Yes, that's the objective. I think with the increase in the order book that we've experienced in the past year, we feel that we are on the right trajectory to do that, basically. Yep.
Okay. Thank you. I'll come back in the queue, sir. Thank you for answering my questions.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Kachadia from Ashika Institutional Equities. Please proceed.
Hello, Nikhil. Congrats on this kind of performance. So, a couple of questions. So, in the beginning of FY25, you mentioned that EMS is likely to be ramped up on the FY25. So, this time, which vertical do you see that in FY22 will lead the growth? And second, if I look at your EMS auto book growth between FY22 to 25, it shows a muted kind of growth, even slightly negative. Okay, so along with that, you mentioned that we entered new clients in EMS category, SWPD. So from which industry those clients are coming and when you expect that those new customers will start being the order?
Thanks, Chirag, for the questions. Could you kindly just repeat again the first question? I got your second question, which was with regard to order book on the EMS part of the business and which customers or segments that we're growing. But could you repeat again the first part?
Yeah. So if you look at the FY25 full-year performance, then it clearly shows that EMS has reached in terms of growth and margin at all. So for FY26, which vertical you expect to lead this role in terms of growth and standalone business? And just addition to the order book question, if you look at the year-end order book, it's remaining muted. So, is this a strategic call that we are not taking the contracts in that subsidiary which is located outside India to manage the margin show and reduce the cost and all?
Understood. Yeah. Okay. So at a high level, first of all, I think as you rightly pointed out, we've seen strong growth in the EMS business in the past year, and we especially when you look at it on a gross revenue basis, and we expect that growth momentum to continue. And basically at a standalone level, both the EMS and the BTS part of the business should grow for us at a blended rate of somewhere in the range of about 25 to 28%. So you may have a little bit higher growth coming from BTS in the coming year, and maybe slightly lesser in the EMS, but we do expect also a healthy growth rate coming in on the EMS business. To answer your question with regard to the view on order book, I think broadly speaking, there's two factors there. One is, we have, with the existing and new customers, a typical basis, the order horizon of the firm purchase orders from our customers will vary depending on the way the supply chain situation looks. Now, over the past, if you go back to 12 or 18 months ago, if you remember, there was customers still giving us a longer horizon of firm purchase orders. And so we're seeing that firm purchase order horizon slightly reducing because the supply chain is a lot more stable now. But we do have customer forecasts which are not included in this order book that is being reported. So with the customer forecast that we have, first of all, the visibility is clearly much more and stronger compared to just looking at orders. The second thing is also that, as I've mentioned, we've onboarded a couple of important growing customers for us. And those customers are in the final stages or various stages of qualification, because typically when we receive an order or when we are awarded a business, we go through a prototyping and new product introduction phase, which is delivered to the customers. Those are qualified, goes through various types of stress testing and all of that. And once they are cleared is when we start getting firm purchase orders. So with a couple of these customers, as I mentioned, we already have the forecasts for them. But those firm purchase orders are expected to come in the coming quarter or two, which will help us increase the revenues even in the current year. And to answer the question, which sectors these are coming from, we have a couple of different ones there. One being in semiconductor equipment, where we have an important customer that we've added. And another one is in biometric solutions. So these are there, apart from that, of course, our existing customers itself in the aerospace and defense side of it, we've continued to add new part numbers and also some increased volumes on existing part numbers. So I would say broadly, these are the key sectors of growth that we can expect in the coming financial year.
I just want to follow up. If you can provide a bifurcation of the subsidiary revenue between ER&D and BTS for FY25.
Sorry, can you repeat again? Subsidiary revenue?
Bifurcation between ER&D and BTS and the overseas subsidiary.
Maybe Desikan, if you could support help with that.
Yeah, subsidiary revenue for FY25 was 406 crores, of which 187 is the BTS and 218 is the engineering services. And Chirag, just to emphasize the point, going back to your question on EMS revenue, the order book coming down, I think the important point to note is that with the stability in supply chain, which Nikhil explained, the existing customer forecast is there, and which is not included in the order book situation. But I can tell you that the demand from the existing customers are robust and it's good. So what is happening is, while you see the order book being lower than the previous year, the forecast portion has increased because of the stability in the supply chain.
And this one, this 187 share BTA7 in the subsidiary, the loss or the underperformance in the subsidiary can be 100% attributed to this BTA7 of 187.
So, Nikhil, do you want to take that?
You go ahead. Or maybe I'll just give a qualitative thing. Maybe you can add it.
Yes, please.
At a high level, Chirag, a major part of the loss in the subsidiary is attributable to our Canadian subsidiary, which is of course doing the BTS part of the business. But I must clarify that even in the BTS for the subsidiary, as Desikan mentioned, we did about 187 crores or so of revenue in build to spec in the subsidiary. Of that, I would say maybe around 70 crores or so of that revenue, 70 to 80 crores of that revenue in the current year was from the Canadian subsidiary, which is where a big part of the loss is coming from. The remaining build-to-spec part remains in France, and that is a profitable business that we continue to operate. Having said that, I think we also have seen some revenue decline in our French subsidiary on the engineering services side, and that has resulted in degradation of the margin compared to the previous year. But in absolute numbers, the bigger part of the loss is clearly being contributed by the Canadian part, which is where we are taking some very clear measures to fix that in the short term.
Thank you. I will come back in the few questions. Thank you for this.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karan Sanwal from Nivesha. Please proceed.
Yeah, hope I'm audible.
Yes.
Yeah. First of all, congratulations, Desikan sir, for a great tenure at Centum. The question back, I have two specific questions, you're working on the satellite constellation for ISR application. So just wanted to confirm, is it related to the SBS Phase 3 program? And also if you could highlight the opportunity in that specific program for Centum and opportunity as a whole as well.
Yeah. So first of all, I think the programs that we are already executing, which I mentioned earlier, in terms of the electronic intelligence and all of that, are for defense applications, not specifically under SBS program, but for different applications. But apart from that, SBS is a new program. I'm not able to speak too much in detail about that at the moment. But I can say that there will be contributions going from Centum clearly on this program, some of it is expected. Broadly speaking, this program will be. A big part of it will be driven by ISRO and also on with private sector participation, and we will be looking to contribute our part in terms of the payload electronics for this program. So I'll stop in that.
Understood. Also, second question regarding the performance of the subsidiary we have been talking about in this call and last call as well. So generally, trying to understand how are we looking at this segment as a whole, and if things are not looking good in the long term, do we any plans to sell it off or divest the business in a longer term? Anything we are looking at in the subsidiary segment, if you could highlight.
Yes. So the subsidiary, as I just mentioned, it has broadly two parts to it. One is in France, where we're doing engineering services and some build-to-spec work. And then the second piece, which is our Canadian subsidiary, where we're doing passenger information systems for rail applications. A big part of the loss is being contributed from the Canadian subsidiary, and we are in various, I would say, in advanced stages of discussions with our customer, basically to explain to them that we are not able to sustain taking these type of losses. And so we are exploring a couple of different strategic options that would enable a transition to happen in a smooth way with the customer and the ongoing programs, but to be able to plug our losses in a short term. So there will be something that we are doing, and we're targeting to have this completed by September or sooner. And that's what I mentioned in the last call, and then we continue to work towards that. Coming back to our France engineering services business here, the focus remains on operational improvement. So in the short term, as you mentioned, taking cost optimization measures and improving utilization by focusing on improving our sales is the focus for the short term, at least. Long term, we will reevaluate at a later stage.
Understood. One last question. We talked about the differential between the gross and the net basis revenue that we were accounting for. Would that effect be continuing in the current financial year, or was it just related to the last financial year? Just clarity on that.
No, it will not continue. It is only for the last year. In FY26, the confusion between gross and net accounting will not be there.
Understood. Thank you so much, and all the very good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before I take the next questions, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to remind you that please limit your questions to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Nirali Gopani from Unique PMS. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Nikhil, my question is on the growth side. So you said that you expect the BTS and the EMS revenue to grow by 25 to 28%. So assuming the consolidated revenue grows somewhere above 20%, so what gives us this confidence? Because in FY25 also, on the gross basis, we were expecting growth of 18 to 20%, which came somewhere around near 13%. So how confident are we of achieving this kind of growth in the coming 1-2 years?
Yeah, I think as I mentioned, we there's two things. One is on the build to spec side of the business, with the order intake that we've had, I think the demand side of it is relatively secured. Similarly, on the EMS side of the business as well, we have a clear plan and visibility of which specific products and customers will be driving this growth based on either firm orders or customer forecasts that we have received from them. So firstly, on the demand side, I think we have a reasonable visibility. The point where we maintain a close watch is obviously on the delivery side of it, and on that front, I think the key is in the coming year to focus on some of these new product qualifications that we are moving quite aggressively on, and so you know with as that progresses and comes to maturity in the short term, we feel the ability for us to meet the revenues are quite strong. So, in summary, we do feel confident that we should be able to grow at a pretty healthy rate in the coming year.
Great to hear that. And if it solves the Canadian subsidiary problem, say by September quarter, for the full year, do you feel on a consolidated basis an EBITDA margin of 10%, which you were guiding earlier, is possible in this year itself?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that should be definitely possible at a consolidated level.
Okay. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sriram Ramdas from Green Portfolio AIF. Please proceed.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. You can go ahead.
Hi. Yes. So you were doing a project for RAW agency, right? The satellite. So what's the progress? Where are we with it?
Sorry, I'm not sure where you were told we were doing something for RAW. Just saying that we make electronic intelligence-based payloads. We don't disclose for confidentiality reasons who is the customer.
Okay.
So the electronic intelligence program that we are executing is progressing well. We've delivered the first set of engineering models for the customer, and it's been well received. And we are progressing on to the subsequent part, and we expect this year that we will have some substantial revenues and billing from this program as well. Yeah.
Okay. So is this the 187 crore project, or is this some other project you're talking about, sir?
Yeah, it was totally a 300 crore point program split into two different orders. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, got it. And see, last question, what is our order bidding pipeline, if you can share some numbers?
The pipeline of orders is healthy. I mentioned this in the past, we're roughly looking at something in the range of about 2,000 crores of booking in the next 3 to 4 years. That's what we're targeting. Of course, this clearly depends on the timelines associated with government procurement processes and so on, which, have some uncertainty associated with it. But our target and visibility is to try to book something in that range.
Okay, 2,000 crores in 3 to 4 years.
Yeah, we're talking very specifically about the build-to-spec side of the defense and aerospace business.
Yes.
EMS. Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so like pipeline, do we have any pipeline, like the orders that we're bidding for, not the potential order book in 3 or 4 years, but the like a pipeline of orders that we're bidding for? That's what I was looking for.
Yeah, I mean, I can't disclose very specifically that, but yeah, I mean, this is all what I'm saying is based on pipeline of specific opportunities we're bidding on.
I would probably add saying that, you know, we are, as we maintain, we should be able to grow the revenue by around 20% consolidated, and our pipeline is sufficient enough to cover that growth rates.
That helps. That helps a lot. Great. Thank you so much. That's all from my side. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital. Please proceed.
Thanks for the opportunity. Nikhil, if you can give the split of BTS order book of 664 crore, out of which how much is for space defense? And in defense, how much is for, you know, Army, Navy, and Air Force?
We typically don't give very specific breakups in terms of the order book, but at a high level, I would say space applications are, I would say, in the range of somewhere in the about 40% to 50% of that part. And the rest is non-space or more defense side of the business. And this cuts across different applications, you know. So,
So the 40% to 50% split that you have given for the space, this is entirely for ISRO or for some defense application that we have been working on for some time now?
It's not only for ISRO. Even we also work with DRDO on certain defense programs. So.
Sure, sir. And any update on the emergency procurement which has been announced, and the space orders, the space satellite orders that we have been, with some news reports have been coming that the procurement timelines have been preponed significantly. So, if you can give some updates on the ground situation that you are seeing for our company and overall.
Yeah, we had actually had to release a note to the stock exchanges shortly after a lot of these articles had come out. I mean, we had confirmed that we have not received any firm request or anything of that sort right now in terms of the expediting SPS-3 or anything like that. So. We have no specific comment as such on that. But having said that, yeah, there is clearly a need for some of the emergency procurements, and we'll have to just wait and see how things turn out eventually.
Sure. But any talks, of course, you wouldn't have got the firm orders. It will still be in discussion. But have you seen some urgency from the government side for this?
Certainly. I mean, I think there is.
Sure. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranav Shrimal from PNC Wealth. Please proceed.
I hope I'm audible. Most of my questions have been answered. One question is, the order book that we have, what would be the timeline till we execute the order?
So, this varies again from business to business. Typically, our BTS order book is executable over somewhere between 2 to 2.5 years in terms of time horizon, whereas the EMS order book is typically less than 12 months, I mean, at this stage at least. And on the engineering services side also, it can be even shorter than 10 to 12 months, maybe less than that, I would say. So that's broadly how the order book splits up, and maybe at a overall basis, something in the range of about 15 months or so, 15 odd months, I would say. 15 to 18 months is what we could look at.
And coming to the Canadian facility, how much is the loss that we have accumulated on our books?
Jessica, will you take that?
Yeah. So for the year, the loss was something like 2.8 million euros. And we have been having around 2.5 million loss for the past 2 years as well.
So approximately 5 point something million total loss in our book.
Euro.
Okay. Got it, sir. And this loss can be carried forwarded for a... Do we get any certain tax benefits there?
In Canada, yes. Like India or like France, these losses are accumulated and can be offset against the future profits.
And do we see any short-term vision of the facility becoming profitable post the talk that we are having with the customers?
As Nikhil was mentioning, the focus right now is to stop the bleeding in Canada. So the bleeding is basically because we have manpower there, which is the main cost, and we don't have sufficient revenues to cover that. We are exploring different options, talking to the customers, multiple options. So to answer your question, the focus is on to stop the bleeding more than looking for profit in Canada.
Got it, sir. That's it from my side. Best of luck, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sai Vijay from Cap Stocks and Securities. Please proceed.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes,
please.
Thank you for the opportunity. My question is regarding the two DRDO orders received last year. Could you share how much revenue has been recognized from these contracts so far?
Again, we don't give specifics about every order that we execute. If you're again referring to the program which I just mentioned in terms of the space-based electronic intelligence program, there we have delivered the engineering models, but we are still in the progress of completing the flight models and all of that. So we're still in the initial period of delivery, or the first part of the delivery in terms of engineering models.
Okay. And my second question is, on a consolidated basis, what is the revenue growth expected? I think you mentioned about 18 to 20, right? Or 20 to 25, I'm a little confused about that. Could you just clarify on a consolidated basis?
Yeah, on a consolidated basis, what we've been going for is 18 to 20%. And that is basically driven by a higher growth rate contribution from the standalone entity, which is at over the 25% level. Whereas at the subsidiary level, we'll be roughly flat to roughly flat, I would say. So.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir, and all the best to the entire team.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Harsh Mehta from Perpetual Capital Advisors. Please proceed.
Hello, can I hear me?
Yes.
Hello.
Yes, please go ahead.
Congratulations on the good set of numbers, sir. My first question is, could you clarify whether your company is involved across the entire satellite value chain, specifically the ground station, satellite launches, and satellite manufacturing? Or are you focused on one of the parts across the value chain?
Yeah. Yeah, so we are absolutely engaged on the different parts of the value chain in space, from the launch vehicles to the satellite. Even within the satellite, there are satellite bus and satellite payload, and we are on board both of those pieces. So we cut across various aspects of the value chain. Perhaps a little bit in terms from a revenue perspective, major part of it comes from the satellite itself, and a little bit lesser from the launch vehicle and ground equipment at this stage.
Right. So, now that the Indian government is planning to invest around 900 crores in the domestic ground station network to monitor satellites over the Indian airspace, do you see this as an opportunity for Centrum to grow their revenue in these areas of the satellite also?
There's many different programs ongoing in terms of the overall, the build up of space infrastructure, and we continue to actively monitor all these opportunities. So, as a player who's been in the industry for a long time, I think we are confident that we'll continue to grow in the overall space business.
Right. And so can you also mention some of your competitors in the satellite payload business?
I typically don't give specific names of competitors over here, but when as far as addressing the requirements in India in terms of the technical capabilities that we have, especially on the payload side, I would say we have a very strong capability and very few other private sector companies would be able to demonstrate. So we have a quite unique, differentiated capability, both in terms of design and IP, as well as manufacturing capabilities as far as this goes.
Okay. And sir, lastly, what led to the decline in other expenses? It's down 11% for the whole year compared to last year.
No, this was due to a specific cost reduction initiative that was undertaken in the subsidiary, because we knew that the revenues are not growing, rather it is coming down. So we specifically look for some kind of a restructuring plan. You will see not only in other expense, also in the manpower expenses and other expenses both. It was a specific cost reduction measure.
So, is this going to be temporary or is this a permanent change for the company for the future?
The revised levels will be continued, and our endeavor is to control it at this level and not to allow the increase.
Okay. And sir, Centrum had recently signed an MOU with Indra Systems from Spain. What's the update on this MOU?
The MOU was with regard to a specific opportunity for space debris tracking radar, and that was an opportunity that we have bid on, but there has been no progress in the specific RFQ in the past couple of quarters.
Right. And sir, the space-based surveillance, which we talked about earlier also, has the government accelerated this program after what happened in Telva?
As I mentioned earlier, I'm not able to comment anything specifically with regard to this program. And we don't have
That's
any
it from
specific
answer, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nirali Gopani from Unique PMS. Please proceed.
Just one small clarification. What is the effective tax rate that we should work with?
It will be 26%, 26 to 27%.
On the consol basis, right?
Yes. Because there is no profit in the tax is only on the standalone profit.
Okay. Okay. Got it. Perfect. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Kachadia from Ashika Institutional Equities. Please proceed.
Yeah. I have a question on the CapEx front. What CapEx are we looking for after 26 and 27?
Chirag, did you ask CapEx for the year FY26?
Yeah.
Okay. We are planning to invest about 40 crores. That again only in the standalone, essentially to augment the capabilities and increase the capacities, both in the BTS segment as well as the EMS segment.
So the equipment which we are going to procure can be interchangeably used for BTS and EMS, right?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranav Bastawala, an individual investor. Please proceed. Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Pranav. I would request you to unmute yourself and then speak.
Yeah. Thank you very much. And Nikhil, rightly you pointed out we are going to now lose Mr. Desikan, and I must say that what a journey, just to be in brief, that from 2001 to 2025 and a 30-35 crore company, now we are seeing 1150 crore turnover, and where it will lead to, nobody knows. But that is the kind of a journey this organization has, and he is one of the pillar of this particular journey. Thank you very much, Mr. Desikan, for your contribution to this company. The investors are very, very happy, and we will miss you a lot.
Thank you, Mr. Pranav, for your kind words. Thank you so much. Thanks for all the support for all these years. I know you entered in probably 2002 in Centum Electronics, and you have been a long-term supporter with your valuable inputs and guidance. Thank you so much. Please continue to do so.
Yeah, thank you. Nikhil, so a lot of questions have been asked, but just want to say that people are asking about defense and aerospace. This is one of the sectors, and which last time also in the AGM also it was raised that Indian contribution is rising. Presently, exports are 75% and 25% from the domestic, which is again going to rise. So my question is, that is fine, but what about the other applications? As for example, we are talking about semiconductor. Are we looking at nuclear also, which is also likely to be a very, very big opportunity over the next 5 years? Already, government is doing a lot in nuclear space, and another space, area where I know that Centum has been doing a lot of research and doing a lot of work with ISRO, that is space. But when we look at it, nothing much greater in terms of the value has been happening. So what is likely scenario in the next 5 years, and what is the kind of contribution we are looking in space, both military and not military part? What's where Centum is likely to be? And are we going to have some kind of collaborations or JVs in different spheres? Like even semiconductor is going to be a bigger opportunity even in India at a later date. And so in nuclear or semiconductor or any kind of other industrial applications, where you would like to see apart from defense and others? Thank you.
Thanks, Pranav. First of all, thanks again for to recognize, as you rightly did, Desikan's tenure, and as he mentioned, I think we continue to rely on your support and feedback as things progress. Coming to your question in terms of sectors, clearly defense is an area that we are bullish on. So we continue to have various initiatives on that front to be able to continue positioning ourselves to go up the value chain or be part of larger programs and key programs at the national level. And space as well, while I mentioned defense, what we see is even for space, a big target application is in defense or military applications itself. And so we continue to leverage and build and grow our space capabilities in the coming years, but perhaps with still military or defense-oriented application. We are still not seeing a huge firm demand in terms of non-defense applications, but we continue to monitor and see that, especially in India. Apart from these two sectors, I think, yes, as you mentioned, semiconductor equipment is something that we continue to look at, which we've added a customer that can be a big driver and contributor to growth for the coming years. In addition to that, industrial applications is an area that we are also exploring more. And various aspects of industrial applications, I think we are looking at the nuclear specifically, still, I guess, at the early stage, not much to say about that as yet, but we are seeing some clear opportunities as far as industrial equipment for renewables, grid automation, electrification, and so on. So that's an area that we have been in, and we are also seeing more indigenization with the increased capex at the national level for these kind of products. So industrial is certainly an area that we will be in, and we will continue to grow. And then I also talked about the biometrics area, which again is something that we feel can be a revenue contributor of something substantial as we go forward. We're building a good partnership with a global OEM on that front, and we feel that can also be a good opportunity. So these are, I would say, the areas that we're looking at. Automotive is an area that we've also been pursuing, especially on the EV side of it. And, while we've started, we've added certain customers. The past year, we've seen this, be relatively muted, but we still continue to explore and look at that and feel we can play an important role in the overall electrification in automotive side also in the future.
So, Nikhil, just to add one question, that see, we are very good in payloads. We can now build lot. Okay, sorry, ma'am.
Yeah,
okay, please, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsh Mehta from Perpetual Capital Advisors. Please proceed.
Hello.
Yes, please. You can go ahead.
Yes, sir. Sir, I wanted to know what has been the historical utilization of your engineering team in France over the last 5 to 10 years? And how has this changed recently, and what is the current level of activity?
Yeah, in the past, I would say it has been at a reasonably good level. In the past year, however, that has slowed down a little bit, more specifically in two sectors. One is automotive, which I don't think would come as a surprise to many people. That's been a sector, especially in Europe, which has had an impact. And the second one also, in fact, as far as some of the engagements and programs and customers that we have, space actually was something that had picked up quite well for us in FY23 and FY22, or FY23 and FY24, but has slowed down significantly in the past 12 to 18 months. Some of our key customers there have had, even in the past year, announced significant layoffs and resizing of the team to be able to manage the slowdown in the activity and demand that they've seen there. So these have been two sectors that have in a sense impacted us also, and that's where we are looking to double down and strengthen again the engagements with our defense customers in Europe, because that is an area that there is investment and growth happening and will continue to happen over a medium term. Hope that answers.
And sir, could you also describe what is your order selection criteria?
We typically have different modes of engagement. I'm assuming your question is with regard to engineering services or the subsidiary specifically, or are you talking about more generally?
I wanted to know about both the part of the business.
Okay, I mean, they vary obviously in terms of each service offering. Typically, in the build-to-spec kind of business, our typical order size has now increased to a 30 to 50 crore kind of annual revenue, either annual revenue or order value. Whereas on the EMS side of the business, we want to target a customer that can get us to at least 100 crore revenue per year kind of rate. Obviously, that happens over time with multiple different part numbers and so on, but that's the objective. And on the engineering services side of the business, that again varies depending on the model. We have certain time and material or consulting type of engagements, and then on the other hand, some service center work unit kind of engagements. And so on the here again, what we look for is how to grow with the customer to be able to get to a five plus or three plus million revenue range with several customers, and with some of our top customers, how to increase that to a $7 to $10 million kind of engagement over the coming years. That's
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jay Jaisrani from Mountain Lion Partners. Please proceed.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes. I think congratulations again on a wonderful tech center. I've though not interacted as much as Pranav, but last 10 years you've been fantastic in terms of giving us clarity and openness in terms of approach towards understanding the company. Gone through the tough times. Unfortunately, you're not going to see the great times, but I hope you're associated with them in some way or the other, because you have complete knowledge on the company. Nikhil, just taking your question, I just want to know whether China 1+1 is still a talk, or is just defense which is the talk. Last time when we had interacted during COVID time, you said that a lot of prototypes are being done where you want to get to the 50 or 100 crore orders, but it takes 2 to 3 years of investment to create those prototypes, to get into the floor and get into manufacturing. Are we any close to any of the orders on such type of companies because of China Plus One? And second is, what is the current employee strength and how much do you see growing in next 2 years? Do you see manpower being very important, bench strength to be very important to grow this business? Thank you.
Thanks, Jay. So just to answer your first part of the question, which was with regard to the China Plus One, absolutely we continue to see that as a theme, and we have added those customers. In fact, I touched on it also earlier on in the Q&A. Where we are in advanced stages of qualification with the customers, and we expect this year itself for there to be good order flow and revenues coming in from some of these new customers that have been pursuing this China Plus One approach. We absolutely continue to see that. And it exists with both some of our existing customers as well as new customers that we have in various stages of the pipeline. So that's the point on the first. The second question, can you just restate that again, please?
Typically, from the employee standpoint of view, because the demand will grow and you need to grow the employee. Do you need a good bench strength or you need to invest in employees from first to train to a certain level? And what is the current employee strength and where do you see it in the next 2 years?
Yeah. First of all, very important for me to just clarify that employees' cost and strength is something that needs to be looked at, again, separately at the standalone level and at a subsidiary level, mainly because at a standalone level, we are at the end of the day delivering a product, whereas in the subsidiary, we are delivering a service. And so, manpower is, you can say, what you're billing is basically the time of our engineers that are working on the projects and so on. So that's the first thing. So with that in mind, I think, talking about the standalone part of the business, where
yes,
we do
more on the standalone, where
we continue to see the growth. We have a program at different levels where we need to keep adding. I think we have a pretty good program in place, especially from the technician level to be able to scale up the resources as we grow, but we also have a strong program around productivity to make sure with the existing resources itself we are able to do more. Where we continue to spend a lot of time is especially on the management and indirect or middle management, you can say, level engineers that are part of the new product qualifications and so on. That's going to be a critical area, an area where there is a lot of demand for. And so we do look at ensuring that we are investing in people and the resources a little bit ahead of when we actually need them. So,
just to add, Sajay Jaswani, I think on the manpower, your point is absolutely right. Today, more than the business, the challenge or the point is on talent management. And I think, the employee retention and attrition are being closely monitored. Plus, like what Nikhil said, the middle management, we have identified the high potentials and then, we are putting them through training programs. So, there, and plus also the productivity measures that Nikhil was talking about. So, there are a lot of focus on the talent management, which definitely will guide the growth for this company. And from my side, I thank you so much, Mr. Jay Jasrani. I think for your kind words and also the specific inputs you have been giving from time to time. It may not be continuous, but they are all taken very seriously and discussed internally and then actions taken upon. I'm sure you...
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anshul Saigal from Saigal Capital Advisors, LLP. Please proceed.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking the question. Our contribution from India is about 29% just now. As we get into the next few years, where do we see this contribution going? Will it remain in the same proportion or will it rise?
Thanks for the question. I think it's important to note that I think already in the last 3 to 4 years that it has been increasing, and that's a combination of the Make in India push that we've seen in the different sectors that we experience. So I don't want to put a very specific number at the moment, but we will see probably a little bit higher contribution from India. But having said that, we continue to have a very healthy pipeline of export customers, especially on the EMS part of the business, and we will continue to develop and grow those customers for us. So you will not see a complete sort of 180 in terms of major change of going from 30% or 29% to 70% or something like that. But we will see a gradual increase in terms of India as part of our overall revenues, and it is what we are actively pursuing also.
Sure. And I would assume that most of this business is BTS, if not all.
Most of the domestic business is contributed by our build-to-spec business. But right. We do also have some EMS customers that we deliver for globally, but also for their demand in India.
Right. And is it fair to assume that this 29, given the trend in recent years, can go to as much as, say, 35, not really 70, but say 35? Is that a possibility in the next 3 years?
Certainly. Yeah.
Okay. Which also then raises the question, given that...
certainly, as in, maybe let me just clarify that when I say certainly, I'm meaning it is clearly a possibility. And as I mentioned earlier, what we are looking at in terms of the contribution from build to spec, as well as some of the growth that we are seeing in the EMS business for domestic customers, we should see an increase on the domestic contribution. So, yeah.
Sure, thanks. Then raises the point that this being a higher margin business, this will mean the mix change will kind of add to margins. And so, say in the next 3 years, Mr. Desigan just mentioned that next year it's quite likely we'll be at about 10% consolidated EBITDA. So, say in the next 3 years, where can this number be? Can it be like 11 to 12?
Yes, definitely. I think that's our goal, to improve that from 10 to probably around 12 in the next 2 years.
Okay, great. And also, given the standalone growth numbers that you mentioned, say of around 28-odd%, what could be in the next 3 years, this 1150 crore revenue, is it likely that it will double, given this kind of a run rate?
As we have been maintaining, we are targeting 18 to 20% CAGR for the next 3 years.
18% to 20% CAGR. Okay. That's very helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we take that as the last question and would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
All right. Thank you all for participating in the earnings conference call. I hope we were able to answer your questions satisfactorily and at the same time offer insights into our business. If you have any further questions or would like to know more about the company, please reach out to our investor relation managers at Valorem Advisors. Once again, just in closing, I would say that we've continue our path of revenue growth as well as margin expansion. We have a clear plan around that and we are working towards that. Please don't look at us as a quarter by quarter company. Please continue to look at us as a full annualized company because we do have some lumpiness in our revenues. But I think we are on the right path and we continue to focus on these opportunities and converting them. And one more time, I want to once again place on record our deep gratitude for Desikan and all that he has done for the company. He has been a mentor to me and to many of our business unit heads. His wisdom, his steady hand and calm counsel have been invaluable. And for our chairman as well, he's been more than just a finance leader. He's been a trusted partner through the thick and thin. So thank you again, Desikan, and maybe some last words from you also, please.
Thank you so much, Nikhil, for those kind words. I think, as you rightly mentioned, I'll be here till 31st August, so another quarter to go probably. I'll be along with Sundar meeting this investors. But I think it has been an excellent support from Rao and from Nikhil, without which I don't think, I could have completed 25 years in this company. I'm very happy and proud about my exciting journey here. And I think many shareholders with whom I have been associated for a long time have been very supportive. And thank you so much, the investors, and thank you, Rao, and thank you, Nikhil. But that important remark that you made, Nikhil, that is we should be looked at as a year-to-year company and not a quarter-to-quarter company. I think that's a very, very important remark. With that note, I thank everyone and thank you so much.
On behalf of Nirmal Bang Equities Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your line.